From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Welcome to our Love Fest. On this edition of All Songs Considered, we're spinning love songs for you with NPR Monitor Mix blogger and former Slater Kenny guitarist Carrie Brownstein. She's in Portland, Oregon. NPR Music editor Stephen Thompson's in Washington, along with All Songs Considered producer Robin Hilton. Before we start, a few quick notes. We got a call recently regarding M. Ward. Matt Ward wanted to do something special while in New York on the day his new CD comes out. He wants to perform cuts from his new CD live in a studio, just him and his acoustic guitar. And so, with the help of NPR member station WNYC in New York City, we'll do just that. On the 17th of February at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, come to nprmusic.org for a special performance as M. Ward plays music from his new CD, Whole Time. More details coming soon. You can follow those details on either Facebook, look for Bob Boylan, B-O-B-B-O-I-L-E-N, or the All Songs fan page. Or you can find us on Twitter, All Songs, one word. We also have a newsletter. If you don't know about our live concert podcast, you should. We'll put that M. Ward show on that podcast and add it to the 100 other full concerts that are up there now, including our most recent show with Andrew Bird. Upcoming concerts will include Anthony and the Johnsons. And now to our Valentine's Day show. Check out the All Songs Considered blog and add your love song there. So I was reminded, when I worked in record stores, I think love songs were at their lowest ebb ever. And this song, I had a guy who would come up to me and he'd really closely and he'd say, "This is the greatest song ever. I love this song. I love the woman I gave this record to." So, do you know this song? If a picture paints a thousand words, so, today on All Songs Considered, we're going to play not that song. We're going to play all the
Can
the,
I
the
just
lesser
say,
known
the,
love songs?
The name of this band says it all. Bread, right?
Yes, that's right. And
Bread. Is there a plainer name for a band to make music like this than Bread?
Well, sort of preceded by an imaginary word, white.
White.
Yeah, white bread.
Right. Or yeasty. I just think, what a yeasty band.
There are certain songs where you can apply the adjective moist.
Which is one of my least favorite words. That's a deal breaker.
So let's today on All Songs Considered, we're going to play lesser known love songs, okay? For the most part, we've picked out three songs, although some of us picked out nine, Stephen. And two of those are going to be truly love songs, and one of them we're going to call the breakup song, I think. How about that?
So, sure.
Yeah,
so I think, who's going to go first? Who wants to go first? Robin's looking like he's ready.
Always.
I couldn't, but let's play. More so, I had a hard time keeping it to just three because of the depth of my love in my heart. That I'm, no, it's true. This song is called Glue. It's by a band called The Gerbils. They're an Athens, Georgia band. They're part of the Elephant Six Collective. And I think they joined the collective a little late. I think maybe in 1998 is when they formed. So I never really listened to them much. I actually heard this song for the first time played live at a concert this past fall that we ended up webcasting, the Elephant Six Collective concert. This is a band that's fronted by Scott Spillane, who a lot of people know from his work at Neutral Milk Hotel. And this is a very odd little love song that I don't even really understand, but I really, really love it.
She comes to me whenever I am locked inside my room, buried in the tune that I call love. She sings to me the words I cannot hear, but then come to her and curl inside her womb. I hear lies, acid too, but I won't die. The pain is so beautiful. The urge is so real. It's
just got some of that for the first time. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm just, it's like, oh, glue, it's making him high. She makes him high.
Yeah,
he's sniffing
it
glue.
It doesn't write off scream love song, but I'm glad you couched it that way because it's a nice way to hear the song.
It totally is to me. Yeah. It has this wonderful arc that sort of follows sort of the natural path that love itself often takes. You know, it starts off very quietly, and it keeps building a little bit and building a little bit, becomes a little more intense, and then there's this huge climax, and then it dies back down, and he's all by himself at the end. All right, let's not make any jokes here, all right? I'm trying to tell you about a song. Seriously, I have joke lock.
There's hundreds of them. Part of it was that, and then it gets really dull.
It builds and builds.
You both die inside, and then you're married for 15 years and you have two kids. And then it's very quiet at the end of the song and very solitary. And all right, you guys.
Just like
Steve, we're not going to be able to.
He really tried to be serious. Stephen, what do you have for us?
Well, kind of picking up on what Robin was saying and the song that Robin played, I've definitely had this recurring feeling about love songs that most of the love songs I love are in their own way incredibly sad and not necessarily like gloom and doom, but there's sort of this twinge of, there has to be more emotions wrapped up in it than just love.
You like Christmas songs that are sad too, don't you?
I do. Yeah, okay, I do. Going. I'll Be Home for Christmas. Great song. so the song that I picked, and I actually did a piece for Morning Edition a few years ago about trying to make a wedding mixtape, and running into this problem where every song couldn't have any regret or, you know, just any of the really conflicted emotions that come along with love. And I just couldn't come up with anything that I felt comfortable putting on this. I'd set all these arcane rules, which was part of the problem. But one of the songs that I did put on there is from a Johnny Cash box set. And it was just this random unreleased song, a duet between Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash called As Long as the Grass Shall Grow. And it's actually a remake of an older Johnny Cash song that was more of a protest song, but why don't we go ahead and play it?
It's a great love story.
Once you get past the fact that they were both married before and...
and the fact that divorced. They both died soon after recording it.
Yes, that they destroyed each other's previous relationships. And...
Oh, Robin, what a Puritan they were meant to be.
Hater of joy. Enemy
One,
of joy.
Two, three, four. I met you in the shadows
and your face was all aglow. I remember it so well, though it was many years ago. We both knew something happened without a lot to say, but we had other lives, and so we went our separate ways. But our hearts communicated, and every time we passed, we were gradually building something that would forever last. As long as the moon shall rise, as long as the river flows, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow. My heart was calling for you when one night you came along. We danced around each other, but then we sang our song. Our harmony was shaky and the pitch not very true, but then you gave in to me and I gave in to you. We had to fight the world and we fought with all we had. We vowed to be together through the sweet times and the bad. As long as the moon shall rise, as long as the river flows, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow. I hear you whisper every night, may I have this dance? And though I'm not light on my feet, I always take the chance. We have gone through many storms and often walked through fire, but always our love and faith took us higher and higher. We know the mystery of life. It's love hard and long.
I love you.
I love you. And I always will, as long, as long as the moon shall rise, as long as the river flows, as long as the sun will shine, grass shall grow.
The thing that destroys me about that song, and why it's one of my favorite songs, let alone love songs, is that it's looking at a relationship sort of from its end point. And looking back, I mean, this was recorded pretty shortly, not, you know, within a year or two before both of them died. It's sort of a testament to the fact that love is just this incredibly complicated, hard-won thing. And you know, so many songs sort of look at a relationship, you know, from the perspective of that flush of excitement at the beginning and the uncertainty at the beginning, or a lot of the emotions that come, you know, when you're first getting to know someone. And what I love about that song is it's looking at the end of it, sort of the way it's supposed to end.
It's sort of full of all the cliches, but it works, too.
It's perfect.
Yeah. the cliche thing kept coming around for me, both when I was picking songs. It's like you, Stephen, you know, you set all these rules for yourself. And for me, the cliche thing almost always kills a love song for me. And Brian Eno did a song that took the idea of cliche to, it sort of turned it upside down, which is that those, most of those songs is, I'll climb any mountain for you, dear, right? I'll do anything for you. You know, the highest highs and all that stuff. And he came up with the phrase, which is the most mundane and pedestrian, which is, I'll come running to tie your shoes. And I just love that phrase. I just think it's just a great twist of the cliche. This is from Another Green World. It's Brian Eno.
Awesome.
I'll come running to tie your shoe. I'll come running to tie your shoe. I'll come running to tie your shoe. I'll come running to tie your shoe.
Back in I think this was 74, in Washington, D.C., all over the city, on the stop signs all over the city, somebody went around and hand-painted Eno is God on all of the stop signs, not all, but on a gazillion stop signs all over Washington. And, you know, there were but a handful of people probably knew who the heck they were referring to, but I loved that.
Yeah, if I did a list of the top 10 greatest guitar solos of all time, one would be on the list
too,
for sure. That's Absolutely. Just what an incredible guitar solo.
I just love that. It's such a dutiful gesture.
Yes.
You know, in its own way, that's a very romantic gesture.
I thought so.
Yeah, I like how it's kind of a mock epic. You know, there's so much about love that's, you know, about the minutiae of it, especially in a practical sense. And he really conveys that so well in that song. And it's more romantic, really, that someone would come running to tie your shoes than if they, you know, came running.
Or climbing
the mountain. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's unrealistic. That would creep you out if you were for you. So with slight trepidation following your guys' songs, I start with the first of my two love songs. It's called Anti-Love Song by Bette Davis, who is a a funk singer, songwriter in the 70s, and sort of known for also being married to Miles Davis, but certainly a fantastic musician and singer and performer in her own right. What I love about the song is she's kind of decided that the only way to write a love song is to not write one. You know, she's just denying the existence of love, at least, you know, from her own perspective. And it just speaks to the contradictions one feels, like the mind-body split that are, you know, constantly battling with each other. And the lyrics represent, you know, a total reluctance and resistance. But the way Bette Davis sings it conveys this undeniability and, you know, an understanding that she's going to give in to this very, very soon. And, you know, I'm sorry, Stephen, but it's slightly libidinous this time. So.
It is steamy.
It's
God
very
forbid.
Steamy. It's very steamy. I'm just going to have my water nearby. All right, this is Bette Davis, anti-love song.
No, I don't want to love you, 'cause I know how you are. That's why I've been staying away from you. That's why I haven't called you, 'cause I know you could possess my body. I know you could make me scrawl. I know you could have me shaking. I know you could have me climbing walls. That's why I don't want to love you. Cause I know how you are. Sure, you say you're right on and you're righteous, but with me I know you'd be right off, 'cause you know I could possess your body too, don't you? You know I could make you crawl, and just as hard as I'd fall for you, boy, well, you know you'd fall for me harder. That's why I don't wanna love you. Cause I know what you do to my heart. You'd scorch it just like a hot iron. Whoa, leave me burning alone in the dark. Cause I know you could make me suffer. I know you could drive me mad. I know you'd just take me in a circle. And when it got real, I know you'd disappear. That's why I ain't gonna love you.
I had expressed a fear before we did this that this was not going to be a sexy show.
It made me uncomfortable. I really thought like I needed to loosen my collar a little bit and don't hurt me.
I was looking at my pics. I'm like, this isn't sexy at all. Go ahead.
It's getting really warm in here.
I was just going to ask, I mean, do you really think she doesn't want to love him? I
just not exactly.
Now, those records just got reissued, right? Those Bette Davis
records.
They did. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I think a couple
times,
actually.
She always wore the most incredible hot pants on her record.
I don't think that is. I think I wrote a blog last year on Valentine's Day about making mixes, and that was a the kind of song that I said that if you put that on a mixtape, you better be able to deliver.
Exactly.
You don't want to just put that on there and then be like, "What are you talking about? Wow, I'm just
maybe
so shy."
That's why mine have always been these very flaccid, sort of tepid little songs. You know, like not promising much.
16 songs of flaccidity.
Oh, will you make me that mix, Stephen?
Oh, Robin Hilton, we're going to come back around to you. We'll put up a blog post. The lesser-known love songs is what we're looking for. Go on the All Songs Considered blog and list your favorite lesser-known. Is that best way to couch this? Lesser-known love songs.
Yeah, lesser-known love songs.
Yeah, okay, good.
I like the lesser-known love song.
All right, so we're there. And Robin, so pick me. Let's do breakup song. No, let's not.
Bob,
no.
You just can't commit. Yeah. This is so like you. I mean, you know, we've talked about this and we've talked about this, your lack of commitment.
Hours and hours of therapy between the two of you.
I don't even know if I want
to
be.
I wasn't really
anymore.
Listening to you, honestly. Robin, so pick us another. Well, maybe we should do breakups.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Oh, my God. It's like... See what I'm talking about?
Yeah. This relationship's really
hard. We've been
putting
up with this for years.
Dr. Brownstein, I mean, help us out here. What do you want? Yeah, do you want a breakup song or do you want a love song?
Yeah.
What do you want, Robin? You can't even make up your mind.
Breakup songs. You. Hilton, you're on.
Okay, let's change gears and do breakup songs. Because I was thinking, actually, I picked out a number of love songs, and I was wondering, what did it say about me that all I really wanted to do was get to the breakup song? And my breakup song is by an artist we featured a lot. He's pretty well known, at least I think with All Songs Considered listeners, Vic Chestnut. And this song is called When I Ran Off and Left Her. It's from his 1993 album, Drunk. And Vic Chestnut, the thing that is so wonderful about him is I just think he's a fantastic lyricist. He has this way of speaking very simply, and it's kind of like a homey little narrative and folksy, but he delivers it in a way that makes it kind of come off as high art almost. And I think this song is one of his best demonstrations of that. It's called When I Ran Off and Left Her.
When I ran off and left her, she wasn't holding a baby. Holding a bottle and a big grudge against me. I tried to learn from the psychiatrist how to stay calm and minimize risk, but I should have kept all those appointments. I'm gonna need 'em. I'm coming disjointed.
I mean, who rhymes disjointed with appointment and psychiatrist? But you know, minimize risk.
You know, I think it was you, Robin, who pointed me to a website called Crying While Eating. And it's all this footage of people, you know, eating while sobbing. And that's the kind of song I would listen to while crying and eating.
See, I don't think it's really that sad. I mean, it's kind of funny to me, you know. But I just love that, you know, we're missing it here, but another rhyme he has later is that that's when I thought of all the little things she did and I started to wig. And wig and did. He just has these wonderful rhymes. Very simple, but
love it.
So evocative.
Stephen, round to you for breakup song.
Oh, for breakup songs. Man, I did. Oh, yeah, I guess we're talking about breakup songs, so it's okay that I'm continuing in the vein of crushingly slow, sad, depressing songs. I picked a song called Outro with Bees by Nico Case from her album Blacklisted. I've been on this Nico Case binge lately because her new album is fantastic. And this particular song is, I think, in some ways, it's just the perfect breakup song. It's 96 seconds long and just completely sums up. I hope we can play the whole thing. It just sums up all the uncertainty and all the conflicted emotions that come with the end of a relationship. Such an incredible songwriter.
Well, there's that voice.
Too. Well, and that voice, the voice on top of everything else. But that song says so much in so few words.
Is that how you like your breakups to be just like that?
Just stabbing you straight
message.
In the heart.
And it's and
that's
done.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to drag mine out to a mushroom cloud hanging over the city. So you know. What
the world
happened.
Knows.
You broke my heart.
Did you guys ever hear, you know, the song Without You, Harry Nilsson, Can't Live?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, it's a Badfinger song, right? Originally wrote it Pete Ham and Tom Evans, both who hung themselves, but wrote one of the most beautiful love songs. Yes.
Good times. This is a Valentine's Day show, right?
That's right.
What did you expect? Seriously. You came here with your sexy funk jam. You were going to sit through a lot of this.
I'm just here to party, you guys. What's your problem? You guys are such downers.
But not after he did that incredible love song, which sold a gazillion copies. He came out in a follow-up album and made what I think is the greatest breakup song ever. I might lose my job over this.
Harry
song.
Nilsson.
Harry Nilsson.
To be clear.
Yeah.
You're breaking my heart. You're tearing it apart. So fuck you.
And speaking of economy of phrasing.
All I wanna do is have a good time.
I think it kind of does it.
That's perfect.
Certainly to the point.
I appreciate that. It's like, if you want to end it, just end it.
Right.
But seriously, tell me how you really feel.
Wait, so you mean you kind of still want a date? Yeah.
So you want to work this out.
What do you got, Carrie?
Well, nothing on that level. I find this song, my pick, completely devastating. It's by the Go-Betweens, one of my favorite bands, and it's one of Robert Forster's songs. It's called Part Company, and even the title, there's just something so clinical and cold, and it's kind of going line by line and just illuminating all the things that are no longer. Part Company, the Go-Betweens. Sad.
Look.
fun, her love, her kiss, part company. That's the handwriting, that's the way she writes. Like mud in the September rain, it comes back to
put full versions up of all the songs.
Carrie, this isn't an immediately devastating song to me.
It's not?
No.
I feel like somebody kicked me in the chest. I love
really?
It.
Really?
Wow, what's not sad about it or devastating?
I don't know. The music itself is so upbeat, for one thing. Well, from in my world, anyway.
I think it's just by comparison.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there is, I suppose, a juxtaposition between the lilting guitar line and this declarative kind of sadness and anger. But I think that that contradiction is what makes the song really sad. You know, it's just a fall. He's flat out there.
I feel like
I don't know.
I feel like that's the saddest jangle I've ever heard.
And it's jangly for sure.
The fact
so
that you found that, you found that song uplifting, and I feel like we need to talk about it.
I said it wasn't immediately devastating. It's like, all right, on first listen, it's not immediately devastating to me.
You would put it on a love tape, wouldn't you?
There are some people I would put that on a love tape for
like
whom
Bob.
I would put that.
Such as Bob.
Well, Bob and I actually, I was thinking this. Bob and conversation that Bob and I, it's ongoing between Bob and I, is that I don't really listen to lyrics the first few times I listen to a song. You know, I don't really, I hear the music and I usually come to the lyrics much later. And Bob's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
If it has a bad lyric,
I'm gone.
You hear it immediately. And
I want to play, we're going to do a little secret thing here. I asked everybody to send me a song. It would be not the love song that is obscure, not the lesser known love song, but the love song, if you had to pick the love song, we didn't, and the show wasn't a lesser known love song show.
We are going to guess who picked this song, right?
We are going to guess who picked the song, and I'll cue up the first one. As soon as you know.
Carrie.
Steven.
There she goes.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it's Steven.
Carrie's way out in front here. Let's listen to just a little bit. Steven, you want to identify?
Oh, this is There She Goes by The Laws. Oh, this song is so great.
I think it's about heroin.
That always winds up happening to me.
I love this song.
Me too.
Yeah, this is one just all. There's like 20 seconds of song there.
spills the beans.
But
right
it just
up.
Makes me so happy every time I hear it. And nothing. And it's been covered like 9 trillion times, and nothing's ever come close to that version.
It never sounds bad. It's also not a bad album. That last album.
Yeah, that's another one that got reissued. It got like a deluxe reissue.
Okay, next one. Who picked this one?
Robin. No, wait.
Do you know the song yet?
The Book of Love is long and boring.
I'm going to say
no
Carrie.
One can
Stephen and I know each other so well at this point.
It's a magnetic field.
Honestly, if this is a song that if somebody put this song on a mix CD for me or just sent me an MP3 of it, we would be engaged the next day.
See, now I see some of your mail.
No.
So let's be careful.
Oh, wait. Cut that part out. If someone sent me this song, I would put a restraining order on them.
Let's hear it.
No, but this song embodies everything that is romantic to me. It's beautiful.
The Book of Love has music in it. In fact, that's where music comes from. Some of it is just transcendental. Some of it is just really dumb. But,
great line.
That, this whole song, every word in this song is perfectly placed and picked.
Magnetic Fields, 69 Love Songs, Book of Love. Okay, next one is...
Darling, you just listen to this. Send me, I know you.
Bob?
It's Bob.
Because you're old? Sorry.
I strongly considered this.
Did you?
I listened to this today while I was still racking my brain over what to
Thank
pick.
You, Steve.
I love this song. This is great.
But Steven was going to pick the Bananarama version. He didn't know Sam Cooke even sang it.
Just a moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
At first I thought it was infatuation. But ooh, it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home.
It's his first non-gospel piece of music.
Can I just say, before we get to the song that we all know is mine now,
I think we should pretend we don't know it. Steven, a long time guessing.
I feel like I'm the only one who came to the party and thought it was a costume party. and so I prepared all these confessions that I wanted to make to everyone about this song and other ones, because I thought in the group here, NPR Music, I have the reputation as the cold-hearted, black-souled, you know, just enemy of joy. Yeah.
Richly earned that reputation.
Yes. When the truth is, I love songs like this.
I never needed anyone.
Oh my God. Remember when we were talking about songs that are moist?
Oh, so perfect though.
Those days are gone.
I saw this band at the Dane County Fair in Madison, Wisconsin.
Can you be quiet, Steven? Because I feel like this could tell me a little bit about Robin.
I think of all the friends I've known. But when I dial the telephone, nobody's home.
Wait for it.
Uh-oh.
Wait for it.
Hold on.
There are air drums in the studio.
Are you holding yourself, Robin?
Not holding me.
Robin and I are going to spoon later.
He used to pull his car off to the side of the road and,
and cry.
And cry listening to this.
The funny thing is that the truth is I would actually like to be alone.
Robin Hilton cannot get a hug.
So do you want to hear the confessions I wrote down? I love period pieces, okay? I love a good period piece.
Sometimes Robin seals himself up in a sleeping bag full of stuffed animals.
Well, I didn't write that one down, but That is true. I love musicals. I've cried while watching American Idol. I've slow danced to Air Supply, and I love this song.
I don't know if I've ever heard this when not roller skating backwards.
Now, Bob, back me up. You love this song, too.
It is an amazing song. In my power pop music phase with the Scratch and Sniff Raspberry Records, the solo Eric Carmen record that this is from blew me away.
Well, see, we're not even going to get to the best parts, that little piano hoedown that he has. No. We'll put the full version online. Not like anyone hasn't heard it a million times anyway.
Yeah, but I haven't heard it while thinking about you before.
Now, since this isn't a costume party, does someone have a shirt I can change into?
That's such a good analogy. That's exactly what just happened.
That song was overly sweet, and I was wondering if maybe we can get some a little edge to the our love songs here today. Carrie, do you have anything that might help cleanse the palate?
I have one, but this is a little bit of a saccharine song for the Ramones. First of all, it was from their album End of the Century from 1979. So, actually the end of the 70s and not quite the end of the century, but produced by Phil Spector. So there's a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of padding on the song. It's Danny Says, and I spent a lot of years touring and being away from people that I loved, and this song just always resonated with me, but it still does. It's just a really sweet song, as only the Ramones could do.
Send chicks and
folks, I think it's a wrap. I'm so blissed out.
I know, and Joey Ramone put it so simply and succinctly, which is, I'm thinking about you and me and you and me. That's it. What more is there? No matter how complex everything else gets, you're really just thinking about you and the person you love, and what else matters?
That's beautiful.
Right?
Fantastic.
I'm glad you guys like it. I'm glad we all agree.
Yeah, that you're not going to.
I love you.
Oh, I love you guys. You guys are the best.
He was saying that to me, by the way. You couldn't tell he was gazing in my direction.
Steve, do you want to take us?
Sure.
Good.
To know me is to know that I am an obsessed fan of the band Clem Snide, which the singer is a guy named Yves Barzelay, who writes a lot of very sort of wry, you know, sort of slightly sarcastic songs, great with wordplay and stuff like that. But after a few albums, he got married and had a baby and wrote an album called Soft Spot. And it was sort of a concept album in which every song was a love song, was a very straight-faced love song. And, you know, there was still little bits of wordplay here and there, but he wanted to make this very timeless record for his family. And there's a song on there called Find Love. That's just one of my all-time favorite songs. And I have a CD of demo versions where it's just him and a guitar playing the songs from this record. And this is the first song that I ever played for my daughter after she was born. And it just perfectly sums up everything that, I don't know, I guess everything that I would want someone to get out of life.
Don't let hurricanes hold you back. Raging rivers or shark attacks. Find love and then give it all away. Bears bring them to their knees, steal the honey from killer bees, find love, and then give it all away. Give it all away. And use your tongue to untie the knots and dig for gold in the parking lot. Find love and give it all away. Find love and then give it all away. Find love and then give it all.
It's like being lovingly serenaded by Kermit the Frog. That song.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was,
I really liked
a
it.
Sweet song.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time. I just love that song.
I'm going to go out and get that song. Thank you. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I like how we're really ending on kind of a sweet note with each other.
Serenading. My song is called Closer by Nine Inch Nails. And this has a really beautiful refrain in it. I find myself singing along with you in the car.
I think yours is going to be a good one to go out on. Mine
okay.
isn't.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm going to take this one, and I think it'll play off Stephen's, which is Lou Reed has written some of the great love songs, I think.
Oh.
And Stephen,
yeah,
and,
you vetoed me.
Yeah, I didn't. When you vetoed yourself,
no, you,
saw Lou on a list. Did I veto you?
I saw that you'd already picked the song, and I was going to pick "I'll Be Your Mirror," but
yeah, which is a terrific song. On Lou Reed's first solo record, there was a song called "I Love You," which was actually done. We learn later in history. As part of the sessions that he was working on for the Loaded record, which is the record he left the Velvet Underground towards the end of the process of making that record. And it's just an absolutely incredible. And this is a demo in the spirit of demos. This is a demo of that song. And I don't know. I assume it's him playing the guitar, and that's all I really know about it. It's called I Love You.
You've got such understanding ways. I believe everything that you say. Smiling faces, not forgotten cause. I love you. When I think of all the things we've done, and we haven't even yet begun. Smiling faces, not forgotten cause. I love you. Just for a little while. Just to see a smile, just for a little while. You've got such understanding ways. Oh, and I believe every word that you say. Smiling faces, not forgotten cause. I love you.
Never heard that before. I really love that.
It's a great song. And the version that's on the first solo album, which people didn't love that record. I certainly did, but it got critically just smashed. It came out in 72, I think. Just called Lou Reed. Brilliant record. Robin, take us out on something.
I think that you know you've reached a great point in your relationship when you and the person you're with can give each other a tremendous amount of grief and still love each other. And it's this sort of playful banter back and forth. And I think that's what this song has. It's called My Sweet Hunk of Trash, performed by Billie Holiday and Louis Armstrong. And I love how innocent this song is, you know, and this sort of playful banter back and forth, where you're saying to the other person, you're trash, but you're my trash. This is from her Decca recordings.
It's the only time I think they ever worked together.
Yeah, it was. They did two tracks together for the Decca label, and this was recordings between 1944 and 1950. It was kind of her period where she was the most popular and also sounded the best.
Well, thanks, everybody.
I kind of think of you guys as my three sweet hunks of trash.
I think of you as trash too, Steve.
I think of us as an eight-legged lover.
Oh, my God.
happy Valentine's Day, you guys.
Yeah,
hey, happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
And everybody, go put your least loved... Not least known love song on the blog, and write to us and give us some trash.
You don't add up too much. Ain't got that glamour touch. You're trifling lazy, ain't worth a cigarette ash.
Look out there, mama, look out there, you're carrying me too fast. Watch it, baby.
You're just my good-for-nothing, my sweet hunk of trash.
My, my, how you sound.
You're very short on looks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dumb when it comes to books.
Look out, baby, watch it, honey.
And you stay full of corn, just like succotash.
What you want me to do in my idle moments?
You're just a good for nothing but my sweet hunk of trash.
Let me get a word in there, honey. You running your mouth. You said I've worried you for years. I'm just a barfly mooching beers. While you sweat over a hot stove, slinging hash.
Work my fingers right down to the elbows.
Yes, I may be good for nothing, but I'm still your sweet hunk of trash.
Forced to admit it, baby.
You said I spread my love all around and with the chicks all over town. But how can I when you keep me broke so I can't spend no cash? Yes, I may be good for nothing, but I'm still your sweet hunk of trash.
Listen here, Pops. You know you lie about your youth.
I don't lie, baby. I'm just careless with the truth, that's
how
all.
How careless can you be?
I don't know.
With all young chicks, you try to make a flash.
No, baby, it ain't like that, no.
But you're still my good for nothing, my sweet hunk of trash. Now when you stay out very late, it sure makes me mad to wait.
How come, baby?
'Cause you come home too tired to raise just one eyelash.
Yeah, 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 watch it, baby, watch it.
You're just good for nothing, but you're my sweet hunk of trash.
Yes, indeed.